right, let's speak to Mighty Jamie. Hello, Mighty Jamie. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you guys?
Excellent. I'm so disappointed to find out that you're in Cape Town.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you have to come around this side and see what people are doing on this Table Mountain side of the world.
It's a tough life. It's a tough life. Jamie, what's your thought? What are your impressions of Jacob Zuma's testimony at the Zondo Commission?
So, I mean, the first thing that we all have to be cognizant of is that the commission wasn't designed very well. And what I mean by this is that there weren't clear terms around rules of evidence. What evidence would be admissible, what evidence would be inadmissible. And what that did is it allowed, you know, for this gaming of the system, which I think is happening to some extent. And what I mean by that is that it's turned into a he said, she said, and a lot of circumstantial evidence being thrown around, but nothing that directly implicates anybody in anything. And so it's a game of connecting the dots. And I think if you have a scenario like that, anybody who wants to game the system, if you come and say, so-and-so told me this and so-and-so told me that I was going to be a minister, another witness can come in and say, well, I didn't say that. And we are none the wiser in terms of what actually happened. And I think this is part of what is happening with the Zuma testimony. So in terms of can we make definitive assessments of what's true, what's false, based on evidence that has been presented before the commission, we really can't. And we then have to play this game of competing narratives, where we then choose which narrative we prefer as a society. So one side is then saying, look, Zuma is a liar, he's a pathological liar, and anything he says can't be believed. And then the other side says, well, we told you that there's a conspiracy against this man. You have all of these spies who've been out to get him. He's been a very powerful player in South Africa, and he was just trying to help the people. The challenge is, at the end of this whole process, we are nowhere closer, one, to closing the loopholes to state capture, which is what this whole thing is supposed to be about. Us finding out how rich and powerful people have been gaming our democracy for their own personal benefit. We're none the wiser on that. We're also not none the wiser on how corruption actually transpires within the governance of South Africa. We have hints, we have suggestions, we have vague generalities, but as I stand now, I mean, we have a lot of content, a lot of testimony, and a lot of competing narratives being made outside of the commission as well by the very same people who are inside of the commission. The number of thought pieces, Twitter feeds, and press releases coming out from everybody, from Thabo Mbeki to Jacob Zuma to journalists within the media fraternity, all of that doesn't assist us as a general public in getting to the bottom of this whole mess. So that's my initial impression of everything that has happened, including Jacob Zuma's testimony. But Jacob Zuma himself is a character who has problems of credibility and truthfulness as a whole. So a lot of what he has said, I think many people will take with a pinch of salt.
So in your opinion, Jamie, does the goings on yesterday, the challenge to the structure of the commission, the challenge to the evidence that was brought and not brought, does that in any way invalidate or harm the commission and its possible potential findings?
Well, I do think that the commission is actually facing a crisis of credibility, because it's not just yesterday. Some people have said, well, so-and-so wasn't allowed to cross-examine and somebody else was allowed to cross-examine. Which witnesses are allowed to have this privilege of cross-examination? And all I'm saying is that there's been a chipping away at the credibility of the commission for a very long time. And that chipping away looks like it's very effective overall, because one, you have a large amount of data. I think right now, the only people who are going to be able to track this are master's students in law, people who are doing political PhDs and are going to make this their thesis. But most people can't truly keep track of all of the different narratives and strands of analysis that have come about. And part of this is because the project of trying to take a snapshot into the way that corruption operates in a very complicated country with 60 million people was never going to be easy. And so a lot of people can make, statements which peel away the credibility of this particular process in ways that may at face value not be successful if you look at each complaint in isolation. But when you have this chorus of cynicism that continues to follow the commission, at the end of it all, it doesn't come across as being this neutral, objective, fact-finding mission, which was meant to be the be-all and end-all to give South Africa a fresh start. It begins to look like another political PR exercise by the ANC, by a particular faction, to almost legitimize their rise to power and someone else's descent into oblivion.
It's very interesting, right, where we are. I mean, where does this commission go? So how do you see it playing out, Jamie? Where does this commission go? Does it become yet another commission where there's no actions, there's no prosecutions? Is that what it's going to be? Because then it's just wasting taxpayers' money.
Well, I would say, look, we've learned a lot. We've gotten a glimpse into the inner workings of some of the, state organs, and we have a glimpse of who the political actors who have been, driving the South African bus economically and otherwise. So we've learned a lot. But in terms of are we going to see people go down besides the resignations we had along the way, I don't really think that this is going to be the vehicle to achieve that. It's simply, as it seems, a vehicle to almost understand the shortcomings of our constitutional democracy as designed right now. I don't realistically think that we are going to see the kind of big people falling that we would. And in fact, the challenge is we have other problems in the country, and this seems to have captured the public imagination in ways that don't really address the poverty, unemployment, inequality challenges we're facing, and also doesn't address the racial and social tensions we all have in terms of the discourse in South Africa. So we're going to keep seeing more inflamed discourse. We're going to keep seeing the divisive type of politics we have. And we're not going to be able from this process to quell some of the divisions, whether within the ANC or in public society in general. You know, with the passing of Johnny Clegg, you begin to think that maybe there's a different approach to reach the kind of social outcomes that we want to reach, because you have the Mandela example, you have people working on Mandela Day to create some kind of goodwill and cross over lines and move into societies to help in ways that they wouldn't normally. And this is something that Johnny Clegg embodied, going into a community that he didn't understand, taking time to understand it, taking time to respect it, and finding ways to create value for that community and for its culture, because a lot of people actually discovered Maskandi music and African traditional music through Johnny Clegg. So for me, I'm looking at this major incident where South Africa has lost a true icon who was respected from across all cultural and racial aisles, and looking at this commission, which rather than settling divisions is actually perhaps being used now as a platform for new divisions and new fights. And I think nobody really cares anymore who was a spy and who wasn't a spy. It's a conversation for a different generation. But some of the seeds being sown in that commission around the economic divisions, the racial divisions, and some of the narratives which are then coming out from, the talking heads such as ourselves and, print media, are actually not helping us get to a position where I think we create a cohesive society. That's how I'm seeing a lot of the stuff that's playing out. We're not getting to the bottom of the legal matters. We obviously knew what the position was on the ethical matters, and we are now witnessing factional politics playing out in the commission in ways that I don't think help South Africa.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like we're living in two South Africas. The South Africa that belongs to the politicians and the South Africa that belongs to the people, where on a one-to-one basis we love each other, we get along, we are respectful of one another, and then we have the politicians who are trying to divide us. So it does feel like there are two different South Africas. Mighty Jamie, thank you very, very much. Have a wonderful day.
Pleasure.
And enjoy your travels in Cape Town. Apparently it's quite cold, so stay warm.
Yeah, today was not a great day, but I think the other days have been nice, so maybe it'll pick up tomorrow. I'm hopeful.
That's all we can be, is hopeful.
It's good.
That's Mighty Jamie. Interesting. What do you think, Sam?